Well, good morning to each one this morning here. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. Jacob, thanks for sharing that testimony this morning. I thought maybe coming up here might be a Goliath in my life, so thank you for pointing out the answer to that. So yes, may God bless each one here today, and may the peace of God rest upon each one. Glad for what you shared there, Brother Diane, and bringing out more than just the practical side of that verse. Appreciated that. And also you, Brother Andrew, and the differences in people, how we tend to, trying to think of how transparent to be around here this morning, but your children might not have known this, but Andrew's hand here, his thumb was actually his finger. These were both taken off, and they put the finger over here for a thumb. You probably didn't see that, but that's how that worked. I'm sorry. I meant Irvin, yeah. I don't know what I said, but... okay. Anyway, forgive me. So I'm gonna pick on somebody to have a prayer here in a minute. So every one of you get ready, because I haven't decided who it's gonna be yet. But being transparent here, I'm gonna put somebody else on the spot. This brother right down here behind Rufus. Did you ever see me before anywhere? I'm sorry. I'm being transparent here now. This morning at about 2 o'clock, what I've been working on the last week was chucked, and I decided to, share what I shared in Burns. I'm sorry. I thought only my wife would have to sit through it again. Okay, I still haven't decided who's going to pray for us. Brother Sean, could you raise up your voice and pray for us? Can we all stand? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. So, yes, I have one disclaimer here this morning. We don't like many of those, but I'd like to say this. What I'm about to speak on is going to sound very one-sided. Maybe I should tell you what my title is. That might help you a bit. It's Parents Lay Up for Your Children. And this is going to sound one-sided, like it's all about us and our children. Our life isn't all about us and our children, but I think it's a very important part of our life. Amen. So I just wanted to say that up front, that you don't fall off the wagon. You think we're just talking about us and our children. So for an opening scripture, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will read verses 14 and 15. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So that is where my title comes from, Parents Lay Up for Your Children. I thought about using fathers, but parents, we're in this together. And parents, lay up for your children. So this passage could have been referring to laying up for physical needs, but I think Paul had more than that in mind, if we'll notice verse 15 there. Brother Dines pointed out the other side of this world's goods, and I think, Paul had more in mind than just physical things. Verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So today we want to focus on laying up for our children for their spiritual needs. And do you have something that is very important to you, something very close to your heart, something you would want to impart to your children, something that you want them to get? Let's turn a few pages back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 12. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So here Paul again has the desire to give these people at Thessalonica something. It's the gospel of God. And as he did that, he gave of himself. He says, yea, we gave our own souls. And he reminds them of laboring night and day to preach the gospel of God to them. And isn't parenting somewhat like that? Maybe especially for the mothers. They lose a lot of sleep caring for little ones. Truly it's a 24/7, 365 days a year job. But if we embrace it, it's not a burden, but a joy. 3 John 4, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That joy can be ours as we are on that duty 365 days a year. I think I'm going to have to get rid of my jacket. if I can. So let's look now at King David. We'll be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 7. King David loved the Lord, and David wanted to do something for him. And David saw that the ark of God was in a tent while he lived in a house of cedar. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We'll read verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about him from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. So David had it in his heart to build a magnificent house for God, a place of splendor and glory that would be more fitting for such a great God. And then Nathan told him, go and do what's on your heart. You can do that. God is with you. But then that night, the Lord told Nathan that David shouldn't do it, but that his son would build it. And it was Solomon that built the temple after David had died. But did David lay the matter down and forget about building a house for God because God didn't let him do it? He didn't. It was still in his heart. You remember what David did before he died? He gathered building materials of gold and silver and brass, wood and stone, and he gave Solomon the blueprints, the pattern for the temple. He did everything he could to facilitate the building of this great house for his great beloved God. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 28 now. First Chronicles 28. Start in verse 2 there. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, excuse me, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now we'll go over to verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasures thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God and of the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold and for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof and for all the candlesticks of silver by weight, also for the lamps thereof according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table and likewise silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David did everything he could to cause the building of this house to be able to go forward after he was gone. And I would like to challenge us to be inspired by this account of David to rise up and to lay up for our children all sorts of good building materials to equip them for their own walk with the Lord, and also to equip them to help the kingdom of God to move forward on this earth, to help it to be great. So I'm not talking about laying up material things like money or possessions. Those things actually might take away sometimes from what they need, but laying up good character building traits in their life, teaching and training them. So maybe we could start with the gold of obedience. This is a very necessary building block to help our children be fruitful workers in the kingdom of God later in their life. Ideally, this should be implemented early in their life. That is when it can best be learned, and if taught early, it seems to stick better. Little story on Marianne there. Her mom said that she needed a lot of correction at a very young age, but then very little after that. I guess it stayed with her, and I am still reaping the benefits. So think about it. How's a child going to obey their Heavenly Father when they grow up if they never really learn to obey their parents? So give them that golden building block of obedience. It will be paramount to their success in moving mountains in the kingdom of God when they grow up. And I'll let you in on a little secret, too, that in the meantime, it will make your life so much easier. And they will be happier, too. So it seems that David had figured out what each gold and silver thing would weigh, and he gave the gold and silver by weight there in verse 14. And by weight, he gave gold for the tables of showbread. And he also seems to have had varying degrees of purity of gold. If you look there in verse 17, pure gold for the flesh hooks. Verse 18 there is refined gold. And then the verse 16 was just gold. So David weighed it out and supplied the right quantity and quality of gold so each vessel, each thing could be properly made to glorify God. David used some foresight and discretion in laying up for the temple. There was nothing haphazard about his approach in doing that. We also need to put some thought into laying up for our children. Autopilot will not work on this one. So verse 7, thinking about pure gold. We must give our children the pure gold of a love for God, a proper reverence and fear of God. And this is best done by them seeing it lived out in us. We can and should teach them, like Deuteronomy 6 tells us. We can turn there. Most of you could probably quote that by heart. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here's what we should do with them. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So this teaching, day by day, in short, all the time, if we look at that, is crucial. But did you see what it started with in verse 5 there? It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. He's talking to his parents, isn't he? Because he's telling us to teach our children. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then these words, the ones we are to be teaching to our children at all times as we sit and rise and walk, it says shall or must be in thine house. So if we don't have these things down in our own life, our teaching is going to ring pretty hollow and probably won't be very effective in our children's lives. So verse 18 there, David also had some refined gold for the altar of incense. So let's weigh up or lay up in our children's lives some refined gold of a love and appreciation for the people of God, the church. There are so many people who profess to have this me and Jesus thing going on and have no room for the church or the people of God. I'm sorry, but that is usually nothing more than a selfish way of getting my way. And there's not much of Jesus involved in the equation, regardless of all the good talk. Right. It can be a selfish way to keep other people from the church, usually, from speaking into my life and helping me to see things about myself that I'm either too blind or too conceited to see, so that those things could be corrected. So you will do your children a great big golden favor by teaching them to love and respect the brothers and sisters in the church. Teach them to ask for input in their lives, opening themselves up to the brethren for any correction that is needed. And of course, if we're not showing them how to do it by our example, they probably will not get it. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works. It's more is caught than taught. So King David also had silver laid up for Solomon to use in the building of the temple. It was carefully weighed out. Let's do that for our children. Let's lay up for them the sterling silver of a pattern or habit of diligence, of being responsible, of faithfulness, even in small things. If we look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he tells us, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It works both ways there. We might think, well, it doesn't matter in this little thing. But if we start fudging in little things in the wrong way, we'll probably start doing it in bigger things too. And if we're faithful in little things, then we'll be faithful in much. And our children will need our help to establish them in this. It is something that does not come automatically for most people. I'm going to say maybe hardly anybody. But with a here a little and a there a little and some perseverance, by the time they are ready to go out on their own, they will have a pattern established that will stand them in good stead for the rest of their lives, and will help to equip them to do battle against Satan's kingdom. But they will need our help to help them establish those silver patterns in their lives. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, the better we live this out in front of them, the easier it will be for them to adopt it for their own. So First Chronicles chapter 29. If you're not there, maybe we can go back there. First Chronicles 29, starting in verse 2. King David speaking here again. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. It sounds like this is coming out of his own pocket. Over and above all that, I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. So David gathered these things in abundance, and it was a work of love because he had set his affection there. If you look at verse 29 and verse 3 there, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. And notice how his example influenced the other people to give too. They saw what David did, and it influenced them. We don't live in a vacuum. So this laying up for our children is also a work of love. Love for them and a love for the God we want them to glorify with their lives. So these other materials, brass and iron and wood and stone, etc., that David laid up could be likened to many other character traits that we can help our children lay up in their lives. Things like being compassionate, having a care for others, willing to be inconvenienced to help someone else. Might come into the line of what Brother Dine was telling us about. Being willing to help someone else, to have a respect and honor for elderly people, to be helpful to them, opening the door and finding a seat for them, etc. Help them to think about other people's needs instead of just being consumed with their own. I think that is one thing that takes a person down faster than a lot of other things, is just being consumed with this person right here. Help them to know that God is good all the time, and to have an attitude of gratitude, and to be thankful to him, and to bless his name. Help them to see God in the beauty of nature, his greatness in a thunderstorm, etc. They should also learn how to work and to work hard, but help them to realize that work is not our master, and some things are more important than work. There could be many other things, and maybe you're thinking about all the important ones that I missed, but as they come to mind, lay them up for your children. Give them to them. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll read verse 11 there. For I long to see you, Paul's speaking again here, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. So Paul had a desire to impart a spiritual gift, and he had a reason for it. It was so that they might be established in the faith. And that is the goal in laying up for our children, so they may be might be established in the faith, equipped for every battle that comes their way, and ready for every good work. Now, King David could not build the temple because of some things from earlier in his life. We read that in the first passage we read, I think. It's because he was a man of war. He shed much blood. But that did not keep him from laying up supplies so that his son could build it. Well, some of us might also have some baggage in our lives we just can't seem to shake. Things that were ingrained in us from little on up. Things that might hinder us from building the temple. But can we, like King David, lay up things to help our children go further, to reach out in ways we haven't been able to? Don't get me wrong, we were taught a lot of good things, for which I am very thankful. And there's some necessary things that might need some reviving in our children and grandchildren's lives, things that are being lost. But there were also some lacks in communications, lacks in helping us to know why we do what we do. We didn't have to think, we just did what we were told. So as our children were growing up, I wanted to teach them to pray with them, but I didn't know how. Praying out loud was a very hard thing for me to do. I had never done it, and I was 40 by this time. But by the grace of God, we started in little by little. Also, little things like good night and good morning and thank you and please and sorry and etc. took an effort. We didn't say those things like that to our family. It's pathetic, but that's how it was. So we tried to press in on some of those communication issues, and I'm glad to see that our children are much more freer in them than we are. We were the quiet in the land, and if somebody asked us a spiritual question, we told them to go ask the preacher. You all probably heard things like that before. I remember of us singing in a nursing home with the youth group, and somebody in there asked us to pray for them, and none of us did. We didn't know how. I felt very bad about that, not praying when somebody asked us to. And of course, those of you that know me well, that know that I can still use a lot of help in opening my mouth, so pray for me in that. So we must keep on pressing in on the areas we are weak in, but also continue laying up store for our children. Psalm 127 gives us a picture of sending out our children. Let's turn there. Psalm 127, a lot of you could probably quote that. If I would try it, I probably couldn't remember any of it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So first off, we must be sure that we are building this house with the Lord. All that building material we are laying up must be grounded in the Word of God. Otherwise, it will all be in vain, no matter how early we start or how late we stay at it. Our children are a gift from God, a reward. And as that mighty man can send those arrows out a long distance, so our children, by prayerful and careful shaping, can also go further than us, Lord willing, maybe aided by the things we laid up for them. And down there in verse 5, it gives us a picture of victory. not defeat. Sometimes we're laying up for our children without hardly realizing it. Let's look at three generations of this happening. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or nor me his prisoner. So as this grandmother Lois lived out this unfeigned faith, her daughter Eunice saw it and was inspired to do the same. I'm sure there was teaching going on there too, but it was lived out. As Eunice lived it out, it inspired Timothy to also embrace the faith, in spite of the fact that his dad was probably not a believer. True faith lived out is powerful, and may the Lord help us to do the same. And may our children see us living it out at home just as good as we do it out in public. Never be one way at home and a different way out in public. There's a word for that. I'm not going to say it, but most of us know what that is. But if we can live it at home as good as we do out in public, it will help our children to see that it's real to us. So have you ever thought about Noah and his wife? They must have done something very right. Their three sons and their wives followed them. There appears to have been no other good influences in these young men and young ladies' lives. All the rest of the people in the world perished in the flood. How would our children fare in an environment like that? Would our walk and our talk be enough to persuade them to live for God? We appreciate good peer pressure, but really, a lot hinges on us parents' example in daily life at home. So the fact of the matter is that we will pass something on to our children, whether we intend it to or not. And it can be for the good or it can be for the bad. It all depends on what we are living for. If we say one thing but do another, our children will see right through that. Parenting is a high calling with no time off, but it is well worth it. The Bible calls Lot a righteous man, but maybe he had some divided interests when he chose that well-watered plain and he started pitching his tent toward Sodom. And where did he end up at? He ended up inside the gates. In fact, he was sitting there in the gates as a ruler, it almost sounds like. And it seems like those things were a bit too important to him. His wife and maybe a couple of his married daughters and son-in-laws just couldn't quite let go of them. His wife looked back and she stayed there, a pillar of salt. So I think maybe Lot had imparted some of his values to them without realizing it. He escaped by the skin of his teeth, but do we want to risk it? I don't think so. May that be a sober reminder to us to let's not pitch our tent toward Sodom. Couple little poems here. Might close with those. If we work on marble, it will perish. Now, it'll last a long time, but it will eventually perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. We've all seen corroded brass and things like that. If we rear temples, they will crumble into the dust. Think of all those Greek temples. Magnificent, they're ruins nowadays. But if we work with immortal souls, if we endue them with principles, with the just fear of the Creator and love for fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which will brighten eternity. That was by Daniel Webster. And one more slightly modified poem. Most of you have heard this, read it, seen it, but it's The Bridge Builder. Remember, parents, lay up for your children. An old man going along the highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast, deep, and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength in building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at even tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend in the path I've come, he said. There followeth after me today my children whose feet must pass this way. This chasm has been as naught to me, but to them it may a pitfall be. They too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building the bridge for them. That is why we do it. And again, remember my disclaimer there at the start. This is a one-sided thing here. There's another side to it as well. So may God bless you as you press on, living for God and laying up for your children. May the Lord give us Christian homes. May God bless you.